interrupting this current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 381. And I hope you all have been getting fed up enough to start doing something. Talking about last week, the week before, the letters, and then before that was actual habeas to relieve yourself from the liberty that's been restrained. And some of you have been working on all that. You're seeing it's not quite so simple in a way. It's because it's unfamiliar, not that it's not so simple. And everyone talks about common law, but when you walk into the Ritz, then you realize you don't even know the first thing about common law. And so this is a big wake-up call for how little we were to all the knowledge we were supposed to have to keep this republic. This idea that there's checks and balances to keep a big chasm between oppression, tyranny, terrorism, and the people. And so this is on us, again, always, it has been. And those that know about you better than yourself are exploiting every bit of that. And it's, anyway, so I can keep repeating all this. In fact, I have been. It's now coming, more and more people are finding out. They're finally seeing that this thing is not something they want to dealing with, but they're going to have to. And so you're going to be coming around to whatever you feel the solution is for you. And I'm going to suggest, over many decades of witnessing this going on, the society is generally not capable. And so I've been attempting my best to convey at least a path to start you on, to get you in the right frame of reference with the right resources, and then you re-engaging these things. And the only way I can tell you to do that is you find the wrong you want to make right. This COVID gave us the whole enchilada in a way, and it's the line. It's the thing that they're going to use to push over. And yet you have the ability to stop it, as I've been telling you over and over. Now, one thing going from the letters, you don't want to do the habeas, or like all of a sudden your liberties is too it is not good enough to keep by learning how to do a common law action to defend yourself. And then I kind of brought it back down. Okay, then let's just write a letter. And then it occurred to me that, and I may have said this, although I want to make sure I make sure that it's said, there's also, you can take the very same information, even pared down even further, which I guess is what come to my mind to make it even simpler, is for those of you, and this is a viable way to go as well. If you don't trust your own knowledge or your interpretation, you can again get the witness from the official that's violating you. And one of the ways you do that relative to this public health authority is to find, again, you still have to do the research, where the due process was required for the declarations or emergencies relevant to an epidemic of a communicable disease. I say it very particularly, these words. Those are all defined. You need to go find them. And when you find out what they are, you'll start to realize what I've been saying is written right down there that they were supposed to do that they didn't. Then you find the duty and obligation, which is usually in the assessment and certification section. And now you got them because you go look around. Well, you then go look and see if whether they did that. When you find that there's no evidence of it, you've pretty much got them. At least you have probable cause to believe it wasn't done. For those of you that want to do another style of record making, it takes a little bit longer and it actually can interfere a bit, but you ask them, based on the statute that required the assessment and the certification, can you show me can you give me a certified copy of that certification? And that starts you down the process to find out. They likely don't have it. I haven't found anybody to present to me when they looked that there was any of that stuff available. And so that's where you start. You find the duty and obligation that's failed, that then causes harm, and now you've got yourself the basic setup. But if you go in through the records request, not just a letter now, but you make it more formal, and you tell them that this is in the absence of the certification, it looks like there's an actionable crime going on. You also send the message that information should not be charged to you. So when you ask for all the documents relative to the certification and assessment, and they want to charge you lots of money, you say, well, then this is relative to finding out whether or not you breached your duty, and that's not to be charged to me. Any charges or other demands upon me, other than the production of that required document, is going to be viewed as a non-answer. And then you take that, even the non-answer now, as your reliance to move forward. And so the point is when you find out what I've been saying about what the due process that was required to impose all this, your check and balance, was the objective basis the officials were supposed to follow, and it's failed. They're derelict in their duty. If I can kick it back to Virginia again, that's what's called maladministration, the very thing that their article, I think it's Article 3, maybe Section 3 of their Constitution says, but the mass community has to move against. Right now we have only maybe one in the United States of America, me, that understands the dynamic of this, and I don't want to, that's not to exalt me. I'm saying that's how ignorant our society is, otherwise we wouldn't be seeing the types of problems that we are in this country. We would have shut it all down as the people. But the people are not knowledgeable for whatever reason. There's no excuse, so it doesn't matter to analyze it. And had we been motivated in the right way, we would have been responding. I wouldn't even have to talk about it. I'd be smiling that we were responding like a well-oiled machine against tyranny, but we're not. And so we come at this one perceived violation after another when every one of us should have been violated up front. And the objective basis of the official action was already written down for us to follow. So I'm offering even one more way to get at this. If you do records requests, it'd be open records requests in your state, because the FOIA is a federal thing. They're not going to do a Freedom of Information Act request. That's federal. Likely it's called an open records request, or if it's not, find what it's called in your state statutes, and you make one of those requests of the local health authority, whether that's the governor or whether that's the public health authority. In a couple of counties, I see it's written in the law, the statutes, which tells you it is the county itself. So the county itself is a public health authority, even if they have a delegated authority to someone else, their health department or whatever. And so, but you just track down, this is all going back through the black and white, how this place was wired and how it's been adulterated also is sitting all in there for you to see. But if you follow that, here's the reason why I keep asking you to follow this stuff. I've been looking at 30-something years of people doing it the wrong way. And I've been enough experience in doing some of this and been guided by some people, like lawyers who are no longer lawyers, who figured out that it was injustice on its face, organized crime, and couldn't stomach it anymore. But early on, I met a couple of those guys, and they showed me how it works inside the statutes. And when I started doing that, it started to work. I realized, yeah, there is something to this. And the communication line is this black and white they call the statutes. However we decide, it may be improper. That's how you have to communicate. It also gives you the line, and a lot of it's not so bad, actually. I've told you that over and over again. And so you use that for what? For giving yourself a form of how to follow, what to say, the elements you need. But more importantly, when the other side, this government that was not supposed to be against us, turns out to be against us, when you follow the black and white that they're supposed to follow, then that much can't be used as an excuse against you. And you eliminate one more thing that the controllers have against you that try to make it look like you did something wrong. And in fact, there was nothing you did wrong. And the only way I know to do that is to follow the objective basis and the guidance given by the statutes. Once you follow every dot, as they say, cross the T's, dot the I's type thing, once you do that, that's eliminated. They can't use that as an excuse to find against you. And then the other addition is, if we were going through the habeas puts the burden on them. In a way, and totally different, not the same power, but so does an open records request, where you can show in the statute they're supposed to provide it for you. And that gives you, see, the problem with that is if they don't, then you have to go to court to get that. But what I've just offered you is you use the lack of answer and lack of certification to prove they didn't do it, and it gives you reliance to move forward on whatever remedy you choose, which I started out for quarantine as being in the habeas corpus, where the burden is placed on the government. You say the very same things, but the burden's on them to prove. Now you get to, all you're fielding is there evasion. And that's crime right in front of right on the record. Am I saying this to change the system? Am I saying this to rely on a judge? No, absolutely not. I'm saying you make the record for others to watch and see. And you start educating people with the clarity of the black and white being violated by the entire government is the way I perceive this is going to happen. Or you put the pressure on them in order to say they don't want to push that one. They don't want to really rile the natives that much. We see across in Germany, I understand, it's just, they're saying thousands are showing up. You see pictures, and I don't know what a million people look like, but it sure looks close. People are just not having it, but they're going in the streets to protest instead of showing that their government was criminals. Why, folks? It's not my opinion, that there is no test on the infectious agent. The communicable part of the communicable disease is missing. It's a disease without a transmissible agent. And yet we all cowed to it. We all just laid down for it. And so I've been asking someone that has standing, as I've told you, it's hard to find standing when you don't go to interact with these idiots to become involved. There's not really a right, like I've told you, I don't have a right that gets violated in me at any point. In fact, I better not get off the track, but we had the senseless worker come by. We got the little notice I told you that you should make, and that was conveyed to the senseless worker who went off, just left. So once you put the black and white down, and again, another Timothy on the Twitter, he said he had a deal with a vet pet doctor. Wanted to tell him what the law was. He showed them what the law was, and all of a sudden he doesn't have to do what they were demanding. The black and white sits there as the guidance for all these people that have decided that they are the authority. And it's the only example I have right now to give you, otherwise I'd give you others. And so until we find others, then I have to rely on what I've done and known and seen what works, and it's all not a guarantee, but it certainly puts, here's the point, it puts you in a better foundation, better than anybody else around you, even the official. Why? Because there's that black and white objective printed basis. Yeah, they can change it in the future, but for now, if you find it, then you go ahead and use it. You find the admission. Even if I don't agree with the CDC, I don't trust them anymore. And that's another thing that's coming on. You just got to tell them we don't trust these people. They're just not trustable. They're not worthy of their word. And you show a couple of examples. You don't have to go on and on. And therefore, I don't trust them anymore. Now I have to take responsibility. Because why? That's the way this place is wired. Any maladministration's on me to stop. And so I've talked quite a bit here off of what I was wanting to do. Because the sad story we have, and again, it's always the, what can I say, this is the ongoing pretense. The sad story today is the first dog to test positive for coronavirus has died in Hong Kong. And so I'm sad. I mean, really, what was the dog doing? An innocent bystander. And a dog to test positive for the pooch, a 17-year-old Pomeranian, passed away Monday after being returned home to its owner following a government quarantine and negative test for the virus, the South China Morning Post reported. I'll stop right there. I think you can all be sad for the dog, but it did live about 119 dog years in our years, didn't it? You think there might have been a comorbidity going on there, maybe like life? And so that kind of brought up another idea, because the Twitter account Michael Clark over there in the UK, Britain, what are you going to call that place? EU? No, you guys split, didn't you, or not? What happened over there, Michael? But anyway, he put on this story, the pet diagnosed with COVID-19, UK government confirms, and he was stating that probably some propaganda BS started by a dog. Michael Clark is a cat lover, like a lot of us. Those of us that love, I think pets, I'm just into pets generally. They're okay. I really don't have I've learned that they're just a lot more dependent than I want to have my time spent, so I don't really try to get too involved with them much anymore. But Michael likes his cats, and so he thinks a dog started all this stuff with COVID-19. Michael's onto a problem. He sees that there might be a deception going on, and I recall to him that maybe it was the cat actually should have kept social distance between the papaya and the goat, which is a real thing, which brings on this stupidity behind what COVID testing actually does. It's all, again, the point of how you bring out the proof of this stuff. And I am reminded that Timothy again sent me an example of that. That was that story where the test was done relative to the goat, a papaya, and a pheasant. And the Tanzanian president finding out that the test wasn't going to work. It's not so good. So Timothy was reminding us again, as I've been telling you over and over, this is a presumptive laboratory test. They just presume it to have, there's no actual legal license given for that presumption. They just throw it on you as well. There's another level of this as well that I don't talk too much about. It's more technical. If I can't give people right to write letters in the right way, then there's no sense in getting to the technical protections that you'll need to load in. But it doesn't matter. Here we had a goat, a papaya, and a pheasant. Wonder why the cat got COVID and how the dog died of it. Maybe the tests are no good, right? Maybe the tests aren't really testing for what is going on. Here's the point. It's not the lunacy you see there. It's that when it comes to affecting you, you have to take that as evidence to show that they have, it's a result. It's not something you lead with. Because there is no test for an infectious agent, their tests don't test for the infection agent. It's proven where a papaya can get it and dogs can die from it. And if we can have all these things dying, then the numbers for death are irrelevant to the actual epidemic and figuring it out. Why? Because there is no test for that infectious agent. There may be a test that bodies immune systems are responding, but that's not the infectious agent. As I wrote last night in another Twitter, the presumption or an antibody is not proof of the infectious agent. Why am I saying it that way? Because when you go to your state statute, you're going to find out there's this infectious agent element to a communicable disease. I'm not talking about papaya there. I'm talking about the failure to certify to the second part of the two-part element equation of a communicable disease. They went on the name and title side. They had no authority to do that. When you don't go after the infectious agent, none of us know what we're fighting. And that is the critical understanding here. That means that everything they do, the government, these people, governors, the health authority, who are supposed to independently find, not rely on China's suggestion and presumption, or the WHO, not the Rock Group, not the OWL, but the World Health Organization, and then the CDC recommendations and guidelines. None of that's authority. No one seems to get this. The authority is in the locality that has the duty to find the infectious agent. Not take the word from rumors of wars and the wars that they think they hear out there. Actually look at your own locale and say, oh, there's the infectious agent, and this is how we found it. And so this is how this scam has gone. Now, the response to all that a papaya can get COVID-19 and a 119 dog year Pomeranian can die from COVID-19 and a cat can have it and a goat can have it, is this nonsense behind people accepting a label is what's killing everybody. And upon that, you're seeing just that. I said, if you see COVID-19 in any order, that's the sole reason for the authority provided for the order, it's a fraud. And upon that fraud, they can move any story. That's why it doesn't add up. It doesn't have to add up. That's why the goalpost, you think there's a goalpost, it is moving. Folks, there is no spoon. There's no test. There's no virus yet. We don't know what it is, if there's anything. But they move on this point, and this is what the seriousness is. That's why you're being affected. That's why you're getting, I don't know what you're getting. I guess I wish you'd get active, but I don't know. As I think about it, I don't know what you're getting. I hear frustration, but I don't see action from it, so I don't know what it really is. A medical journal suggests a loss of employment for any person who refuses to take COVID-19 vaccine. So they move from a disease to a vaccine. Now, I want to go back and let's look at the specificity of that title. They're willing to take people's employment because that's the preferable way to do this instead of fines and other penalties. Now, absolutely, that's coercive. Absolutely, there's exactions. Maybe even your civil rights, but can it be a crime? Surely it can. If you go to your crime statutes, the penal statutes for extortion or coercion or both conversion, and you see that an official using an unwarranted reason or no reason at all to affect a property or a right or hands that property or right to someone else without title, right to the title, is committing felonies. The omission to do the right thing is committing another set of felonies. So they come after your livelihood, and they want to put up a COVID-19 vaccine, something that's just a title. You will have to do what I'm telling you, at least the minimums, to make the record of how this thing went off the track so early on. And you start from those orders, and they have statutes in them. I was explaining this a little short in summary form last night. Again, you go to the orders. The orders usually have their authority. You go to those authorities in your state statutes. And you go read them more than just the reference, because you'll find in context they weren't, the due process behind how they got to the answer to write the order was not fulfilled. And I can tell you that on the face, because COVID-19 is what? It's a title. It's a disease. It's half of what a communicable disease is. You can't have an epidemic when you just have the disease without the cause. And so this is a check and balance that no one's wanting to do, and they want to complain, well, this is the Republic and we can keep it, all this nonsense. Oh, no, that's nonsense. Yeah, because you didn't say, wait a minute, it's just a title. It has no infectious or transmissible agent. Where's the test? Because the CDC and the FDA agreeing says there's no real test for the virus. Antibodies and presumptions are not the virus. And to tell you the truth, I want to know, is it the virus, or did we miss a bacteria that's going on like the plague? And they're just missing it. I'd rather know that. At any rate, getting back to this, they're willing to take your livelihood. I say livelihood, not employment, if you start learning the language. COVID-19 vaccine. Now, let's look at this. COVID-19 is the disease, not the transmissible agent, not the infectious agent. The disease is a set of symptoms. We hear it's flu-like symptoms. Let's read that again. Refuses to take a flu-like symptoms vaccine. When you read it that way, that this COVID-19 is a flu-like symptoms vaccine, you'll find out it's impossible for a vaccine to do that. Why? Because when you read about the tests, the antibody antigen and nucleic acid tests, they're only talking about these responses of an immune system that give you the symptoms that people clinically look at, gives you the stuffy heads, fever, coffee, rest medicine type idea. The tests tell you that the test for antigen or antibodies tells you that it is an immune response to any environmental insult, that the vaccine cannot be made to stop all flu-like symptoms. So again, a lot of words here. It's almost irrelevant at some point. But if you don't start looking at how they're doing this to you and realize that you just replace COVID-19 with flu-like symptoms, and then realize they can't make a vaccine against flu-like symptoms, then you'll realize the fraud. Now the problem is, how do you get at it? Because they just keep relying on this is a lie, and the lie that keeps being told and referred, and all the gang members get together and they support each other, and you have to break down that conspiracy. Not a theory, it's going on. You can identify it, in fact. So COVID-19 vaccine is an impossibility. It's the same fraud COVID pandemic order. You can't have flu-like symptoms on a pandemic. There has to be the infectious agent that is also what for a pandemic now? It has to be novel, and it can't be presumed. And your local statutes say nothing of presumptions. It says the duty is to assess the condition for something of public health importance and do the assessment on it, and then establish the infectious agent here, to then you look and see what you're going to do to create the mitigation measures. Now, you if you just settle down, you realize there's a bunch of chains of authority broken in that whole thing, that there's no way to get to the vaccine, let alone that we kind of claim officially that there could be a flu-like symptom vaccine. When you identify that COVID-19 is a presumed set of flu-like symptoms, then you say, well, that element's only half of the communicable disease problem for an epidemic. I don't even have to get to the pandemic yet. I can't have a pandemic unless I have the element of infectious agent. It can't be assumed by the suggestion of China, or the CDC, or the White House, or even the governor. It can't be assumed. It can't be presumed. It has to be found. Something objective and tangible. And I'll tell you what, after looking at all this, I didn't know this before, but I don't know that any of this is actually tangible. And that may be one of the biggest revelations I can come up with to free us up if we'll just accept this. Work to focus in on the requirements. We use the black and white objective basis to give us the foundation to identify a failure, the failure that would do this on a medical journal suggestion to take your livelihood is the fruition of a claim of harm sufficient to invoke writs. Now, I've talked about the habeas. I broached a bit about the mandamus. We've talked about injunction's not a writ, but there's other writs, and we broached that a little bit with the old document. I remember an archive.org document that I was given from SoundMinds that he found, and I said, yeah, look at the writ section here. Focus on it. There's all kinds of writs. There's all kinds of things you can do, but if I can't get you all to even write a letter, I can't help show you what's out there to start making an accurate record and a public record of how you and your society is being taken down. And if I can't do that, you will be continually mocked and berated and demonized. And so I don't know how else to say that. There it is. I just said it. I don't know what else to say about how to make that any more obvious. You're seeing it come down that way, but no one's making that record. Everybody does everything else. It's fascinating to me how everybody goes off everywhere else. They just don't want to settle down. Anyway, so there's a medical journal suggesting that to jump in and accept this vaccine, they're willing to take your livelihood. If I told you that this is coming right in your face, eventually you won't have an out. You're going to have the answers. And let me remind you, this is the same type of action that was taken on a presumption under the belief, and I would have to say give it to them, good faith belief that these tests actually did what they said, that they're already acting like this, taking your livelihood to force you to do a policy consideration that has no basis, and under the naked authority of public health or a police power, they're willing to do exactly, almost in the same order of the article that I told you about, that's going to be a pivotal article, not leading, but again in support of the fact that if you don't do the certifications and you don't have the tests, then there's a history about how that devolves into harming people. Was that faith in quick tests leads to epidemic that wasn't article from the New York Times? I'm bringing that back up. I'm bringing it up again because also it was John Rappaport actually writes an article referencing it as well. Now, for you, I put that in so you can read what his thoughts are. He throws the quotes in. He gives you something. If you have no idea in your mind of how this thing works, John will, in his article, does better. I don't write stuff anymore. So John does good at delineating what you might be, some of what is important in these articles to point out. That the faith in a quick test, remember, it's the whooping cough story. Where they did this PCR test, they relied on all this stuff, in good faith, believed there was a real infectious agent that was moving through to cause an epidemic. In fact, they never found it. In fact, they made all the wrong mitigation measures because they never didn't have the actual test for the actual infectious agent. And then that agent disappeared. What we're seeing right now is we saw it early on and I pointed this out. They're utilizing natural illness as a cover to move a scam. It's a fraud, destruction of your way of life. It's not a hoax. This is a real attack. All right, this is a real thing. It's not make believe what they're doing to you. It's not a make believe virus. What they're doing, that's an object of a methodology to take you down. That's as real for that, not a fairy tale. Because of their using it as a weapon, your belief in it and your reticence to go back and find an objective basis that we all, when we look into what you did, we all can see, wow, there were some major failures here. Not your opinion of the failure, but the major black and white failures You pick up, you put up all the elements of what they were supposed to do, and you have boxes. If you have to do it this way, you draw little boxes. If you have to do it, and you color in all the ones that they did, and you leave all the ones that they have left yet to do blank, and then you present that in a document that say, well, they left all these blank, and yet they moved over to step, instead of doing step one, they went to step Z. No, step V, right? Vaccine. We got a problem here. And so none of you want to step up. I'm bringing this faith and quick test lead to an epidemic that wasn't. The very actions they took in this were exactly mimicking this article where medical experts are deciding your livelihood. And when you read inside those articles, you see how they're twisting the thing. When you get a sense of how they're twisting it, you'll get a different appreciation of what I'm saying, I think, as well. I'm showing you that when you see the twisting, you use that, and with the acknowledgement that they'll admit they really don't know, to bring up what? The fact that they can't establish other than arbitrary and capricious mitigation values. The extension of the sickness they claim here, the symptoms of which we see they report on, is proof. You use the case numbers and increased testing to show that their mitigation measures were never on point. And they can't expect to be changed. Why? Because they haven't identified the actual infectious agent. The numbers being rung is another proof of the fact they don't know what they're doing. They're outside their authority. I keep repeating this. The methodical way you go after this is really kind of mechanical. It's black and white written down. You find out, you plug in whether they did this stuff. If they didn't, you highlight that point, and then you move on because they moved on. They moved on to mitigation values without identifying a thing that could harm you. And the danger, my look at that, the danger of that is if they're looking in left and the attacker's coming from the right, you're going to get hurt. And you won't know how to defend yourself from it. And that's what I see going on as well. I don't know what's out there, and I don't know that anything is out there. But if there is something out there, there's people that are being harmed because they can't really fight it. And then you see this hydroxychloroquine battle. Why would the death cult not want you to be healthy in the beginning? Well, because it's easy. It's a death cult. They're not in law either, and that's the whole point. How do you prove that? Because you say so? No, you point out that these people that are the caucusocracy in the pizza position, these people that are actually not too bright, actually. They claim to be bright. They claim to be smart. And they are only, they're in the sustainable development side of what smart is. They're not too intelligent. And you let them be. You let that nonsense, that insanity actually creep up on, take over your life. I don't want to say you deserve it, but let's be real about that part. The faith in quick tests leads to an epidemic that wasn't is what they're doing now. Was why that story was so important, that report on what happened with the whooping cough, so-called epidemic. It's what's happening today. It's what you use when you identify they didn't do any of the things they were supposed to keep us from doing that. The continuing rising numbers and moving goalposts of which is them just trying to cover their fraud, as far as I can tell. Can you understand that to say too? I hope so. I hope something breaks in the resistance breaks down in people to start having an idea of how this works. And so it's a self-inflicted wound. But what does the Senate do? It's, again, it's like diverting the attention so that you believe someone else has been doing it to you. First of all, you've been doing it to yourself because you're not responsive. Secondly, those that do it to you don't care to not do it to you. And they'll tell you that when you hear this kind of a story. Senate committee, not the Senate, but a committee, moves to allow Americans to sue China over COVID-19. You're going to sue China over flu-like symptoms. I actually laughed when I saw this. However, it's serious because you all think it's serious. You now have an option to go out there that the United States Senate can say that we get to sue China over COVID. Guess what? COVID, you're going to sue COVID over a military maneuver? That the United States due process would have stopped in its tracks, but the United States government itself was too derelict to prove out? You're going to have standing to sue for that? Well, the Senate just thinking about giving it to you. You think that's even moral? Don't you think it's more responsible to say that China suggested a presumption and our dutiful officials caught it when they did the required assessment and certification, and they could not certify? You think that would have maybe ended this thing pretty quick? Together with what I've told you back in when? March, February, whatever it was, that Trump could have ended this by pointing to the worst flu year in a decade, following the worst flu decade year the year before? You think that could have been done, folks? You think the government could have done that much? So these people don't want to help you. They want to evade their duty so you don't focus in on them. Now, I don't know what you can do with the Senate. You can do something with the senator in your state, but the point is that these people are saying, "Oh, look, China did it," when in fact it was the liability of the local jurisdictions to do this. What I've been trying to get you to focus on. And I said, don't do FOIA, don't do federal. That is not going to get you what you want. The authority for public health is local. This is really not even a question why people continue to question this. I don't understand. When the state started going to the federal, when they lost, it was a big indication. I told you about all that. Moving on, because this is so much to talk about. It actually gets, I can almost sense how it's maybe not understandable if you haven't listened to me for a while. But I can only say what comes to my mind as I try to address the problems that I see reminded by these tabs. The Senate committee is trying to evade its duty, not turn around the Senate. This is your state senator's representation of your state as well, remember. It's as if they're also covering. Let's go tell people they can sue China and give them the right. And I don't even know how these suits would be valid. But at any rate, no, forget about all that. No, let's point out that China did wrong, and we won't tell people how we were absolutely derelict and all of our states were absolutely derelict. And if I'm in error on that, all you have to do, and if there's a governor listening or an aide to a governor or anybody in a public health authority that's secretly listening to this, just produce the actual certification for an infectious agent and explain in that certification how you found it. Why you have to do that is because I'd like to know how you found it, because the world doesn't know how to find it. I want to give you a Nobel Peace Prize. Okay, well, I won't be able to do that, and they're a corrupt organization. The point is that you would really do something if you're that kind of you were serving the people. But none of you have been, so I could stop right there. Until I see the evidence, see, folks, there's no trust. I don't have, as a free man or woman, once our trust is broken by those that thought caucusocracy could do anything, that was the check and balance, okay? It's over. It's broken. You don't have anything to cow to. What I do tell you, you do have to follow, is an objective basis for how you've coming to that determination. That's not only for you. That's also for everybody else. It doesn't matter if anybody else listens. It's your record for you. But so Senate moves to point the finger at China when the Senate, the senators, the people in the states are deflecting the responsibility, the dereliction of their own states to do what they also should have done. This is how I got out of that story, whether you did or not. I just go through this stuff. Another failure of the COVID diagnostic test. This is the article you need to read, and John will lay out for you quotes within the article that become important. It's not just what I would see. It's not just what I said. But if you need someone else to hear, let John guide you a bit on that article that was showing if you put your faith in tests or your presumption, your assumptions, and don't actually get the tangible, I don't even want to use the word science because I don't even know if we can do that anymore, but you don't actually see the thing or know that what you're doing is taking, and then run that through the science. You now have to run it through the science to prove it. What's that walrus, the Koch principle, right? That we go through, we got with axioms to work through to, we believe, prove out to the best of our ability that something is really a causative agent and transmissible. We prove all that. That's what that certification has to show, see? And if we did that, I'll tell you what, if we did that and that was all proven out, what would we say? See, that's the objective basis. There's no opinion there. We could all still all be wrong, but at least we'd all be wrong with a basis for us being wrong, and the good faith reliance, which we do not have now that they may have had in the whooping cough non-epidemic. And all this is your power to check and balance this under an, buying an objective basis. So John Rapoport writes now writes about that article that I already talked to you about. And, I mean, John's another guy. He could put this stuff together, too. He tends to just want to write to you about what the magic is about the magicians, which is fine. But like I said, there's nothing more to discuss. You're now being hurt well and enough. The courts even said they're looking to see how this is going to work over time. You now can speak to every bit of it. You have been able to for months, but again, the desperation I see in people, that is the evidence of the harm. And that's not to say this is maybe the only answer. A lot of this, you can step back and like, don't put your kids in school. That's one less thing you have to worry about. Stop the schooling. I don't think that's any value. They got it. The schooling got us here, folks, from what I can tell, to a dysfunctional society, one that's not able to, is not educated and not vigilant and not knowledgeable in the remedies that they would bring to bear. And Virginia, again, the highlight of this is Virginia's so-called Second Amendment fight, sanctuary city thing. That was it right there, the example. The real example of how the people failed and how close the people were to fixing it. I still get kind of excited about, look at how we were able to come together and just say no and come together as a bunch of communities, and then we walked again, if you will, to the steps that the Constitution says, the government that the Constitution says was established, and we failed to bring that document in, and we failed to lay it on the authorities' desk and say, you're out of here, here's how, here's why. Or, here's what you have to do before you're out. And no, we didn't do that, and we're not doing it today. And so keep moving. So read John's article on the faith in a test that caused an epidemic that wasn't. We are doing that again. So that's willful and knowledgeable because they know that can be a problem. I told you this before. I've said all this before. And that I have to repeat it. I get that. I understand the repetition. But I really don't know what else to say to y'all to try and... If I can't get the motivation to defend yourself, I don't know what to say. I think it was a Twitter that said, like Maya Angelou, something about something you have to say that stays inside you, that you bear something inside you is the worst agony. No. The worst agony is... Someone in my intention to help people protect themselves against a harm that they are suffering and they don't listen seems to be, to me, the higher agony. And so, moving on, where this thing goes, it kind of started off ahead, but they're having a COVID vaccine. They want you to do that. Maybe you said, well, what vaccine? Yeah, right, they're still working on it. And they didn't make one for SARS-CoV-1. Because of the way it works and what it is, what they're doing, new technology now, but here we have the heads up for all you all that they're trying to extend what they did to against children and the immunities they gave to companies to make vaccines to harm you. That in their product data sheets say that. It is not even a question. I don't care whether or not thimerosal does it or not. It says in the product data sheet, and at least all the ones I've read, says that one of the potential harms is death. Now, how that is a higher value to people individually, I don't know, but they've agreed to it all. And so that's what I'm looking at. I don't care how you got destroyed. That you can get destroyed becomes the need for my consent. And then you get to then do the other things. Well, even if you have the authority and you said you needed 70% compliance, how about if we wait till you can't get it? And that's what they're talking about in these reports, that only 40% is agreeable. They're going to have to coerce and extort the rest of the percentage from the rest of you. And even there, you're going to have a say, because, well, until you do get the last one that finally kicks you over to 70%, don't talk to me. And then we'll revisit this question. Does any of you have this kind of a fallback plan of defense for yourself? I told you before, if there's a... If they had a 95% vaccine rate, remember, I think it was in California, and they have the 95%, or they claim to have it, and they wanted to focus on the last 5% was extortion? Why? This is the same argument of going through an injunction. Well, we've complied with this invalid order. We're wearing masks. We're keeping 6-foot separation. How can you impose better, more, harsher? And the courts would come back, you're right, we can't. That's the same thing. You said, the government said 95%, you've got it. Why are you still beating on me for it? In this one, they're saying 70%. It's all fallacious, but I'm trying to tell you, if you even sit inside the thing and wallow in the nonsense, in the insanity, the harm that's coming on you, you still should have fallback positions if you have any responsibility to yourself. But and this is why AstraZeneca to be exempt from coronavirus vaccine liability claims in most countries. This is the object. This is not even a surprise, but they're telling you they're going to work. They're doing this behind the scenes already to give the vaccine companies no immunity. That should be your first clue. Now you get to go over to the vaccine court and say, well, I don't want to have that risk. You go find it from the other 99.999% first. If you just understood what I just said 5 minutes ago, over the last 5 minutes, on how you can still make a fallback. Until they show... Because absolutely, if a 95% hasn't solved it, then their strategy was wrong. Now they're outside their authority again. And you can use, I mean, I'm just talking, now you're getting down to the bitter end. The last, you're going to have to jump off the cliff. You still have a half the distance to the goal to defend yourself. You won't do that if you don't start at least engaging the way I'm saying to get your mind prepared on how that works. So AstraZeneca is moving to be exempt. The government's fully willful to do it. If Senate's willing to point the finger at China so that you don't look at the culprit being the Senate itself and any other government institution, they're willing to give an agent of death their sanction so that you can't go after them would be your answer against it. But it's also an alarm. They're already looking ahead of it. And this should tell you what the problem really is. On something on what? Did you notice? Did it pass by your observation? They said exempt from coronavirus vaccine, not SARS-CoV-2. No, just the common cold. Another impossibility. Right in the title, I don't have to read this stuff. But just read the title. I've been doing this for years as well. I know maybe a lot of you want me to talk to you, read you bedtime stories, I guess. And maybe it would be advantageous if I did read something. But until I find people really needing the information because you're using it, I got no idea in my mind. I go blank. Why do I talk about stuff that people don't really want to hear? They aren't going to do anything with it. That's my definition. You're not going to really do anything with it. But at any rate, I'm here. We've got to be here to help each other. And so that's my example. That's the only thing I've been focused on for I don't even know how many years now, once I started to see what was happening. And I don't even know why, but it's just how I'm wired. I don't know what else to do. So maybe I'm a defect. Anyway, moving on. So we have this thing coming. They think they're going to take a vaccine for the common cold. You heard before the vaccines are supposed to be just for flu-like symptoms. Impossibility, because flu-like symptoms are caused by any biological, immunological insult. Then they tell you that it's just against the coronavirus. Then you read this story, ensuring uptake of vaccines against SARS-CoV-2. Now, have you heard anything about SARS-CoV-2 until now today, about these vaccines? No, but here it is, and they open it up this way. As COVID-19 continues to extract a heavy toll, the development of vaccine appear to be the most promising means of restoring normalcy to a civil life. Perhaps no scientific breakthrough is more eagerly anticipated. I don't know by whom, folks, but let's go back. They start this off as SARS-CoV-2, but they said as COVID-19 continues to take a heavy toll, as flu-like symptoms, stuffy head, fever, coughing, rest medicine stuff, is taking a heavy toll. When has it ever taken an actual heavy toll? Anyway, so they open up this story. This is the fairy tale. This is the setup for the takedown, saying that they are now identifying SARS-CoV-2, for which there is no test, but they refer to what? Flu-like symptoms. How anybody's is anticipating that type of vaccine, I don't know. This story goes on and starts to talk about how they're trying to figure out how to ensure uptake of vaccines, get you to buy in. This is the same group of guys that wrote that issue whether or not they're going to take your livelihood as a non-penalty. It's coercive coming out the gate. Now, there was an article I was going to refer to, but I didn't, because there was a mashup of opinion with statements. And that's what I've been telling you. A lot of these websites will do that. They refer to someone else's opinion, and they mash it into what might have been said in a document. And it was mentioned in a website that this was less coercion as a quote. That was actually stated from another website, someone's opinion that it was. And I'm not denying that it's coercion. What I'm saying is you can't cite less coercion to somebody who's of authority when it wasn't said in the study, and you go to the study and you have to deduce that it's coercion. Is a different approach and a caution I give to you. When you read this ensuring uptake, read for all the things they don't know. And yet they're making strategies for it. And understand the overarching principle is to get you to take a vaccine, and they're willing to harm your livelihood to do it. But that's apparently okay with these people. And so part of me doesn't even know where to talk anymore on that, because everyone has to understand the insult to them. I can't give you the words for that. And it's not just blurting out emotively. You have to identify how all these things are relevant to things in the black and white that they'll have to answer to. This, that people are coming up to ensure uptake of vaccines on SARS-CoV-2 where there is no test, isn't even valid. What you use it for is the admissions that they don't even know what they're doing, but they're willing to coerce or extort from you things. These are the discussions of criminals. You know, that's a summary statement you'd put on deep in a complaint, I guess, but that's because that's not your complaint. That's support for how what they're doing is far and away beyond what they even know to be talking about. Next article text, next time you're called a crank or a flat earther on concerns about rushed coronavirus vaccine, show them this. And it's a Zero Hedge article, and it goes through showing people different ideas. I could read through many parts of the country, cities and counties currently have mask laws requiring them in all public spaces. Given that over the past few months the race has been on to develop a fast track in coronavirus, the logical next step will be that students and employees provide proof they've received the vaccine before returning to work or school. This is already happening, coming up. And naturally, we already know this, but this is what's coming down after the fact. Naturally, the idea of fast-tracking this process, also amid a deeply political charged climate, has people concerned, and they should be, if Bill Gates's latest appearance on CBS is any indicator of the things where things stand. British veteran journalist Neil Clark had this reaction to Bill Gates' interview. Remember, this is global now. We're now just stepped out of the United States, went over to the UK, and they're seeing the same stuff. When anyone tries to gaslight you by calling you a crank, a tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist, or flat earther for having perfectly legitimate and sensible concerns over a rushed through coronavirus vaccine and its side effects, just send them this. And you have links here to go to Bill Gates' discussion, and he says he doesn't seem to care. Now, my use of this article, go look at all this stuff. But why are we using this? The method I'm suggesting to you is they've got you all the way into arguing over vaccines, over what Bill Gates said. I'm telling you to jump way to the front of the class, way to the front of the line, right to the first misstep, and eliminating their ability to use any mitigation measure, whether it be the mask, whether it be the social distancing, whether it's the thought about this vaccine, whether it's listening to someone's opinion about it. You eliminate that when you go to the failures of the officials to confirm in their jurisdiction the actual presence, not presumptive or by antibody or antigen, but the test, the actual thing, the infectious agent that's causing all this. Okay, so you use, again, this Zero Hedge article will tell you the people that are being referred to as the experts I guess we have a medical doctor in Gates as well. They don't care. Of course they don't care. Plus, he's also part of doing a so-called philanthropy, which is it's a money laundering scheme to do more profit, it seems to me. But I don't want to get into all that. Doesn't matter about that. Yeah, these people are criminals. Where are you going to step up and stop them when their gang outnumbers you? You better be, as their gang is coming in on their boats, you better have figured out a way to drill a hole in that boat so that they sink before they get to your territory. Is that a proper, does people understand that analogy? I don't know, all the analogies that come to my mind, that one came out. You're going to have to get and do some work to stop them before they get to you and make it like it's viable what they can do. That's what I'm, again, if you understand the stepping through of the process and the problem. But you have to get to the beginning. You can't get inside the middle of it. You can't argue with these. I told you, don't ever make an argument over this. Just point out where they failed in the first step. And they can't go on the rest of the journey. You're not going to meet none of their gang along the way. Anyway, so that's another story here. I'm not so sure that people even who are so feared about this would listen to this tape. So I would be cautious to warn you, maybe not relying on it to hand it to someone else. Maybe it would work. You got to field that. What I'm showing you is how you see what the enemy's doing, what someone believes the answer is, but that the actual answer isn't even in handing this as some answer to somebody else. You don't know if they're just afeared or if they're part of the gang. You want to eliminate their ability to even consider this. And so these things in my mind, and I had this on my tabs, I brought it up, I needed to get this thing said because this, after all the stuff I've been seeing and how this seems to work out, something came up, and I mentioned it before about they know you better than you know yourself, and that's how they're exploiting you. This is also consistent and continuous, and not in my mind, but it is my thoughts. It just kind of runs along the fact of certain things. The fact of how well, whatever you consider this document, the things that are laid out in it, no different than the Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. The way it's laid out, when you have at least what eyes I believe you need to see, it lays out what's happening, and it's consistent with that. You start finding out that all this has kind of been written, and we can take counsel of it and understand what to expect. And this is part of the, what information are you given and what you give away? What part of this, what part of the deception do you aid and abet, even without your knowledge? And that's partly how you've been deceived and don't know. Shows me, like in this other one, you may show people, oh, look at this guy doesn't care how he's going to hurt you. But see, that you even considered he has a say gives it over to discussing whether or not in someone else they have a say. Whether or not you agree or disagree doesn't stop the problem. Going locally to the people who failed you, who took the suggestion of a military enemy that you have a disease that's going to destroy your economy, and then you allow it, you make it so, when you had every check and balance obligation and duty to not let that happen, seems to be the better option than to decide whether or not Bill Gates has anything to say with someone who's afeared that what Bill Gates has to do will save them. But this brought up an idea, and not the only place, just something I wanted to read. Masses led by lies. And I just didn't drop into the document. It's out of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. This is a document I read. When I read it, it took me about 3 days to read it. And what it told me was devastating. This is the document that kind of shoved me right down. It did. I don't want to go over it because I've still got some thoughts about this. Some discussion in my mind about the revelation of the method. I think it's being misstated in the way people conceived it who made that up. But this is the part of the revelation of the method that I've been hearing. I've heard it before. I didn't do too much analysis of it. But the object of that is to demoralize you. Reading this document did that to me. But there's something inside us. It's a spirit inside us. And I can just tell you, I was just driven to the very depths after reading this document completely. This is where I got the idea that there's people out there that know you better than you know yourself. They certainly knew me better than I knew myself, and I didn't even know some of the things that they might know about me. But once I was exposed to the things they know about me, I said, well, yeah, that's something that's in me. That's something I didn't even think about. And so this document was a real deep driver for me. Interestingly enough, and the inspiration for me was I came back out from a deep depression. I don't know if it was like psychological depression. It was just this reality, the weight of the world and the control and the absoluteness of this thing came on, the realization of that revelation. That was like the revelation of the method right there. But guess what? The revelation of the method requires that you stay destroyed. Now, what happened to me was I didn't stay destroyed. In fact, it started to give me the counsel I needed to understand what I were up against. Okay, so I was, if you will, if I can do his metaphor, rising like the phoenix from the ashes that I had been turned into by reading what there's the people in this world had no clue how evil, and this is not even how evil they are, this is just some plan. I was able to handle the other evil actually more when I read this. But this demoralizes you. That method requires you stay demoralized. The antidote is to rise like the phoenix against it and start to prevail against even the stuff you don't know they know. And develop methods to stop that from happening to you. That's my perception. That's what my motive of moving started to be. I came out realizing the document explains to you their weaknesses. It explains the Achilles heel. It explains your Achilles heel. It gives you awareness and comprehensions that you, if you're someone with a mind, I suppose, I don't know, if you don't care, I guess it doesn't matter. If you have no relation in the world about what's going on, I guess it doesn't matter. But at the time, it hit me maybe at the right time. Maybe that's why it happened. This is before I had access to much of the internet as well. So this is not even like I've got something to go. This is coming to me, I guess, in a stream of need. So I, if you will, the analogy of rising like the phoenix out of the ashes of my own felt destruction because I was helpless against this thing has brought me to be looking at things differently. Why I focus in on their Achilles heels. I know they're there. These people are not infallible either. They may be organized, and lots of people follow this, can follow the principles within it, but there's always a weakness in those with a stronger spirit that will act against it and not necessarily fight it. This is really not about a fight either. This is the other thing. They rely on your fighting. And at the same time, about that time, I'm realizing, even in a pseudo-fashion, fighting in medieval armor in battles where you really do get hurt pretty bad. You won't die. You pretend that you died, but you can really get hurt. But you learn, if I was never trained to fight, the actions that you go through in strategies and tactics on a battlefield, even made up, are instructive. That I learned that it was also not a fight in that. It's more of a dance. And there's a rhythm that you get into. And this is why I get kind of mucked up sometimes. When I can't get people to kind of just do what they're supposed to do, it starts to muck you up. Your steps get off. The timing gets off. And it starts to cause more work. But when you're in that space, when the fight is not a fight, it's more like a dance. You prevail. Was never able to not prevail, it seemed. And I take these analogies to heart when I'm looking at how to do all this. And I use this inside now, internalized, these dynamic that is told to me through this one document. But this is what came to mind, even though I don't remember this. I realized something was in there about it. It was masses led by lies. And I just want to read through quickly just to, I don't want to get through the whole document. I don't want to focus on it. I want you to understand there is counsel you can take from this to utilize in order to start understanding what I've been telling you about all this stuff where medical people, so-called, will threaten your livelihood. What kind of a world are we living in when we let that happen? But this was all sage in a way. Deception is the king in this place. And our duty was to learn and discern, I've talked about this before as well, how that was happening so that it could not be happened, but that wasn't enough. You have to counter and out it. So, this is the thing that happens, it kind of ties in and dovetails into the Republic if you can keep it. If you want your being, if you want to be free within the construct of the society you're in, you're going to have to fight for it because there's someone out there that wants to take you down, and it's local and foreign. Grimner, yes, I did. Sorry. The reading from here, the masses led by lies. I think this was the fifth chapter, but number four. Moreover, the art of directing masses and individuals by means of cleverly manipulated theory and verbiage, by the regulations of life in common and all sorts of other quirks, in all which the goyim understand nothing, belongs likewise to the specialist of our administrative brain. Reared on analysis, observation, on delicacies of fine calculation, in these species of skill we have no rivals, any more than we have either in the drawing up of plans for political action or solidarity. In this respect, the Jesuits alone might have compared with us, but we have contrived to discredit them in the eyes of the unthinking mob by as an overt organization, while we ourselves all the while have kept our secret organization in the shade. However, it is probably all the same to the world who it is sovereign lord, to its sovereign lord, whether the head of Catholicism or our despot of the blood of Zion, but to us, the chosen people, it is very far from being a matter of indifference. 5. From a time perhaps we might be successfully dealt with by a coalition of the Goyim of all the world, but from this danger we are secured by the discord existing among them, whose roots are so deeply seated that they can never now be plucked up. We have set one against another the personal and national reckonings of the Goyim, religious and race hatreds, which we have fostered into huge growth in the course of the past 20 centuries. This is the reason why there is not one state which would anywhere receive support if it were to raise its arm, for every one of them must bear in mind that any agreement against us would be unprofitable to itself. We are too strong. There is no evading power. The nations cannot come to even an inconsiderable private agreement without our secretly having a hand in it. Let me stop there. You can read more. I don't know if you heard today's goings-on in the very first paragraph. And then you hear the arrogance. Unless they can pull it off, it's not so arrogant. I guess it's reliable arrogance, unless they can be trumped. What they rely on is you being divided. Part of what consolidated my ideas about this undividedness that they want to foment all the time. They suggest that's what's going to happen because you're unknowledgeable. To me, it's an arrogance now. And the Achilles heel not seen here is that you are an individual, not a nation. And each one of you has the ability to throw that off. And they can't stop you. And they can't stop numbers of you. And so this is where, in a sense, I hear the lies that they tell us from their experts comes ringing here. When I was reading this other stuff about the experts, that I want to divert a little bit of time to this today, as I have, point out that it's overwhelming. It's going to be, this is going to be your battlefield. And you still have to battle within it. But as I found out for myself, you get in the right synchronization, you get in the right timing, you get in the right motions at the right motion point and in the right space. It becomes more like a dance. This is not a fight. This is how we're going to dance through the battlefield, and they're going to stay away from all the things that they have said they have control over. They don't have control over you unless you believe it. You're seeing the reflection of what they do through experts and what experts say and what they propose to do, and then your silence to fulfill exactly how they have the control here. Anyway, there's a whole lot that we can talk about. It will be more of us understanding ourselves and where we fall short and how we really have the power to change it. We can be subsumed by the people's thoughts against you, or you can say, it's not going to happen to me. And not just say it, respond that way, because these people mean to harm you. That harm is not going to go away because you la la la, or you deny, or you just don't engage. This is these two paragraphs are pretty central, I suppose, even though I don't remember it that way. They're central to what I've been telling you as well. Well, a lot of this document's that way. You can drop in just about anywhere and you can attach it to what you see in the world. So whether or not, whatever you believe about this, there's counsel in this document. It talks to the destruction of you and your inability to fight it, but it talks about it in ways that if you listen to the specificity of your relationships to what they are destroying, you are separate always from it. That is then frees you up to take the action you need to take. And then the only other thing I add to that is, so I started looking for these things that they make it very hard for their control structure to actually control. You hear me tell you that when I say the habeas throws the burden on the government. That's one of those things they can't control. There may not be very many of those things. Like there might be for a mandamus where the judge has a decision. The habeas, the burden's on the government, or whomever the one restraining your liberty without warrant is. And so, again, there's so much that goes through my mind I want to say. These documents can help us. They've helped me tremendously. If you value anything I've told you, it's not even in my mind that I use this stuff when I go looking for what I look for, but it answered that here relative to why we say authorita, why we say experts say. These are the agents of destruction that you have to figure out in the gang utilizing their agents, their secret spies and all that, against you and coalescing to protect that. You still have to figure out a way to destroy that oppression. Now, if I say it that way, maybe it's clearer what I'm telling you. So what you do is you literally cut the foundation from which they believe they stand out. And you take away all of that from them. And that's stated where we go to the objective basis that even these folks, if they are, whoever they are, making a distinction by someone else showing you that there's more than one in the world doing all this, and you're also an element to it, that you have the black and white that everyone has to agree. Everyone has to agree with the black and white on how you're going to use the remedies and dismantle the foundation it's just the sand that they stand on. You're going to wash that away. And so that's the things I hope, I'm thinking of a lot of how, what I contribute, why I contribute it. You're defenseless if you don't, well, first of all, you don't need to have a defense if you're a slave or if you succumb or if you're destroyed. That's pretty clear. If you defend yourself, you're going to have the tools to counter things that you, the unknown unknowns to you. You have to deal with those. They built their house on sand. You can wash that away. And if you can't do it on your own, you become the example of how to start washing away your corner. Maybe someone else, I would hope, would step up and do another corner. And it may take more of us. Like it says, the mass of the community, why Virginia was so important. And so we move into that document, into this story. Israel Defense Ministry launches COVID-19 voice test for Americans. And I want to remind you of the connection between all this and the political Zionistas that are going out there and who's starting to run the technological control and who's being resorted to. And we look real carefully here at this thing. This is an older article. I just couldn't get to it till now. COVID-19 voice test is a flu-like symptoms voice test. Now, this still, again, they're probably using AI and all this, but this is going to the Israeli Ministry of Defense, that's military, globally. They sell this stuff as products. It's launched a project to analyze people's voices and breathing patterns using artificial intelligence in order to determine if they have COVID-19. Let's stop. they determine that they have what? Flu-like symptoms. Not SARS-CoV-2, not even coronavirus, not even the common cold, nothing. Not a bacteria, not the plague is a bacteria. So they're developing AI as an authority to be able to listen to your voice and make determinations. Presuming again, on a presumption that they are correct. And this ties in, again, being AI, it's tied into your digital destruction through your phones. And pretty soon the requirement, because you haven't cut their foundation out, you haven't cut out their knees to support them. No, you let them continue. You argue with Bill Gates instead of going after the fact that there's no vaccine to have as a mitigation strategy if you haven't identified the infectious agent, and that's found locally. In the absence of those certifications and the lawful certification, they can put a certification. You still can test it for its lawfulness. Did it meet the standard for that certification? And we hand it over to these folks that we are told politically connect back to that Zionist, Elders of Zion document. And we create them to be the experts. We create a false expert in AI. And you keep allowing that, you're fulfilling the object of your destruction and the permanence of it. Again, I just want to mention it because I've been hearing it a lot of it more lately, and it's been a question in my mind, the revelation of the method. There's another part to that, and it's fulfilled where you don't stand up. At least my understanding of this. And this is what's been my problem about relying upon this stuff. The protocols told me, you don't know, you are really, will not prevail. And then I recognize that they are not all powerful. And it's determined by your independent will. And then whether or not you really are intelligent enough to meander the battlefield without jeopardy, which I talk to you about all the time, and how to lay the landmines in the record that others might follow until we're of sufficient mass of people to actually become a force and effect. And the only, again, I'm going to repeat this, is the only way I understand to do this. You go to the objective basis, everyone, even these sinister types, have to follow. And you show where they failed. And I don't mean in a small way, because they've got that handled. I mean the big links that are supposed to happen. There was no assessment done, or the assessment didn't find, then there's your answer. If they couldn't certify that to an infectious agent, there's the answer. If they claimed to certify but didn't record, there's your answer. You force them to make the record, which they can be hung upon. Will that hanging happen? I don't know. It depends, I guess, on how good you are. Some people are a lot more lucky than I am. I have to fight every inch. And I have a suspicion maybe the ones that look lucky are just the false trail. But anyway, that's not for me to say. So my battle seems to be every inch is won every inch. And a lot of that I see is because there's nobody to help. So that's my perception. Some of you that have the gift, and you bring this thing through, you might be able to push it right through where I'm still scratching. I don't know. But we're not going to do it by having all the wrong ideas or succumbing to the very plan that was set up before you and staying in that destructed mode, in that destructed state. Again, Phoenix is an interesting problem. But anyway, if you acknowledge the rising from the ashes of the destruction. That can happen. And you can. And I guess you must. I guess you don't have to must. But if we don't, then the method was successful against us. And just talking about that rising is not doing it. Being destroyed in the ashes and complaining about that is not countering the destructive force. Again, the objective basis of which is written down in these statutes, which I've heard lots of people condemn. But in fact, they may be the last and remaining vestige of an objective basis, the real law of war, by which we can move through and make a record even of where we see these guys here, the Israeli Defense Force, will make every excuse for following anything like international law or customs or traditions or anything underneath another style of fiction. And until people rise up against that, that condition, that is going to be in the world. I don't see any of that different than the destruction of the people of the United States or the UK or any other country. Moving on here, I've got to get lost in some of these thoughts I start to think about. Again, local to anybody, you've got to find your statutes that delineate the black and white line that was supposed to be followed by the official, the failure to follow of which was sufficient enough to cause due process violation, a lack of notice, a lack of ability to know, to create mitigation measures, and the harms that the acting without that certainty, that certification, has caused, is how we each approach this. Again, John Rappaport, Black Lives Matter, Trouble in COVID Vaccine Paradise. He'll explain again how this is working out. National Geographic headline, July 17th, more than half of the black-owned businesses may not survive COVID-19. COVID-19 shutdowns have pounded black-owned businesses particularly hard. Research at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and a report by the National Bureau of Economic Research found that 41% of black-owned businesses, that's some 440,000 enterprises, have been shuttered by COVID-19 compared to just 17% of white-owned businesses. Ignoring for the moment the fact that the economy of the entire country has been sent off the cliff, does Black Lives Matter care about what's happening to the black-owned businesses? This is trying to explain how they put up another thing in your face, another divisive tool to keep you from focusing on the point. I go back to the very first part of this, COVID-19 shutdowns. Flu-like symptoms shutdowns is not a valid authority. And every one of the orders I've read by every government and everybody everywhere points that out. When they talk about SARS-CoV-2, you'll look and see they're tied to no test, ultimately. They just talk about it. They just keep talking about it like it's actually there. And yet, how did they know that? The local jurisdictions require certification of an actual infectious agent, not the assumption of a presumption from China. Or from the CDC as a guideline or a recommendation. John goes on to talk about this problem relative to the COVID attacking and hitting Black Lives Matter, folks, and does it matter to Black Lives Matter? You know that's a political, what do you call it, rainbow, color attack on this country. Number two, he writes, trouble in the vaccine paradise, aside from the actual fact that the vaccines are dangerous and ineffective, which I've been proving for 30 years, so he's been writing this and he's one of the guys in this that's been looking very carefully. I highly recommend his work. Again, I don't use it like he uses it, but he gives you the focus on where you can start to go to pull out the things you need to be effective in any remedy or record you make. Aside from this, and the fact he's been looking at 30 years, the mainstream COVID vaccine narrative is breaking down badly. Headline, San Francisco Chronicle, July 17th, with coronavirus antibodies fading fast, vaccine hope fades too. This is what I was telling you before. He's acknowledging to you in words you can read. Without the impetus, they're not going to push this through. I say kill the impetus from the beginning. Then you don't have to worry about it fading. It never was. And I say that in the context it never was in law. There may be something out there, but what they're pushing was never in law relative to their disclosure and notice to you of a certified infectious or transmissible agent. He goes on to write, disturbing new revelations of the responding to this Chronicle story, quote, disturbing new revelations that the permanent immunity to the coronavirus may not be possible have jeopardized vaccine development and reinforced a decision by scientists at UCSF and affiliated laboratories to focus on exclusively on treatments. Several recent studies conducted around the world indicate that the human body does not retain antibodies that build up during infections, meaning that there's no lasting immunity to COVID-19 after people recover. I'll stop reading. He goes on about the vaccine and all this can't happen soon either. As we talked about, it takes like 10 years. There's nothing here that changes what I've been saying. I want to point out something on how you use this, though. You should have heard it already. Notwithstanding the COVID as a symptoms, people are recovering from flu-like symptoms, well, you think, I mean, it's the flu. You recover when your body's healthy. There's no lasting immunity. There isn't from the common cold, is there? There isn't from anything non-actual novel, novel meaning invented. And then even that, that's a question as to whether or not it's actually something you need to be worried about. The point I was telling you, that I've told you before, that you see here, that these vaccines do not allow you to create antibodies that are permanent, where your body on its own does. It's the same theory of what I remember used to happen is some kid got the measles and everybody, all of a sudden there was like a party. Everybody came down with the measles. A couple weeks later, we're all playing again. No one had the measles ever. Didn't have any vaccines and then the whatever the side effects or that we understand now. So this was another focus on how do you use this, that when they do come up with, if you allow this epidemic that isn't, and you do the wrong thing, you're now going to create a condition in me that my body won't be able to fight in to get permanent, and it's going to bring me susceptible by this study. We can go back, I'm just referencing that study that shows that when you get a vaccine, it actually brings you susceptible to worse respiratory problems in the future. 2 points against you on you, which you say after you show they don't know what they're dealing with, their mitigation measures are arbitrary or capricious, could not fight it. The example of the increasing so-called sickness on tests that don't test for that is proof, and the remedies not only are they arbitrary or capricious, they are going to do permanent harm to me. I'm not allowed, once I get that, to make my own permanent antibodies. If I don't already have them, why science says I'm asymptomatic like I would be for any other thing like the common cold that I beat down for all my life. You're taking that away, and now you're going to instill in me a continued and repetitious association, which is a violation of the Constitution. You can't do things to force me to associate with you. I'm bringing you back where? To fundamental rights that or harms, all based in what they're talking about relative to what they think they're doing in these vaccines. And I say that because you're going to have to go to this extent whether you want to, whether you really want to or not, whether you want to blow this off. When it comes down for you to make that decision, you better have what I'm saying in your mind in an ordered fashion, actually something in a bag of law. You just open it up and start pulling your sheets of proof out in the order that I'm saying relative to a habeas, because that's going to be how you actually talk. Whether you want to go any writ, you'll be doing the same essential thing. The only distinction seems to be who has the discretion, if there is discretion, and who has the burdens, and what you have to say relative to each one specifically. They're all pretty much the same ultimately, though. No different than that letter I told you, or based in this finding and research of the statutes failed, where's your certification as a open records request to start you off if you're hesitant because you think you need more proof. Go ask them for it. The failure to offer it is admission and reliance upon you, admission of not having it and reliance that you're being held unwarranted. Let them deal with that part. You don't just do this to write letters, though. I mean, this is a building sequence, and I'm trying to offer you places where you jump in that you might feel more comfortable to jump in. You're still going to have to defend yourself. You still have to know how what he's saying here, and then I'm adding how you use this information. Because when they have the power, it won't matter. The Senate is already willing to give immunity to these criminals. I'm pausing here for that one. I'm hoping that kind of rings a bell for you. You have to avoid the ability of the power to think they can do it. You're not going to do that just fretting and fussing and typing on the chats. You're not going to do that by understanding even what I'm saying. You're going to do it by understanding that you've done the work to find out where they failed, how you can present your best defense against their failures, which is really an attack of their fiduciary breach, and move into maladministration, and you be the authority to assert that all fails and gives them no power at all. At all. And you do it in such a way, I got another thing, you do it in such a way, like you say there is no test. I don't mean you just say it, you prove that there is no test for the infectious agent. You put that in there, not just to, oh, look, there is no test. Why are you putting that in? To show that they cannot come up with a future identification. I say that kind of in absolutes because there just is no test. When you look in deep enough, I'm just shocked at how little medical knowledge we have, which is, I mean, not really shocking in a way either, but just to see it in print that they just don't know. You delineate that there is no test and there is no knowledge to have a test. Why? Because you're defeating them to come in the future to try and do this again. Because what they do, it's the parasitic amoeba. When you come with an objection, they resolve to plug that hole. That's not an opinion. I've told you many examples happened to me where we did remedies in courts where black and white said that there was an avoidance, not evasion like the Senate wants to do, avoidance, lawful avoiding of a consequence where it was improperly imposed. You give notice of that by the proper avoidance notice, and then you don't have to do any of it, is what I'm trying to suggest to you without the formality of a court case, that when you do bring those, within a few years, the legislature will plug that hole for them. So you have to look far enough in the future to be able to destroy their ability to plug that hole too. Even though I said something that might kind of blow your mind, I don't know. It might be, it throws some people off how much you have to actually work when you're an oppressed people. But I'm going to give those of you that are on the leading edge of this a little insight. Why I would say things that I would say. You're looking to kill their ability to come right back and fix that hole you identified for them. And you have to do it in such a way that they cannot fix it. And so you go to your fundamental rights and not association. What you're doing there is you're saying you can't force me to get this to associate with this whole medical profession. And you've built up why you can say that in the failure to identify what it is. And I'm suggesting in my view, my meager view of looking, I think once they did that, you'd realize once you know the infectious agent, then you might have your own mitigation strategy on your own, wouldn't you? That sits there to be done in the future. You don't tell them now either. Well, you wouldn't know anyway. But you hold all these rights you have, these powers you have in yourself, and don't let it over to the experts that confound and lie. You maintain your rights by maintaining them, not by arguing that they shouldn't. And so we move on to remedies. You heard treatments. They said moving on to the vaccines may not work. Why? Because as I told you, when this thing starts to devolve away and summer comes and people start to have no more common cold or flu, and that's not an absolute. We got plenty of common cold and flu in the summertime. I know Australia seems to have a flu all the time. But wait a minute, that's their winter. See how that works in the globe so they can report. Anyway, you have colds. I mean, things go on. You have toxicity in your system that your body has to deal with from time to time. They're acting underneath that natural progression as cover for their crime. They talked about treatments. What are the treatments? So, interestingly, just this week, big dust-up, American Frontline Doctors Summit, COVID-19 school closures and hydroxychloroquine, was a video that was like whack-a-mole. I think it still is whack-a-mole. You can't find this video. Well, you can here and there, but it moves. So you got to be as fluid in the war here to find this video, the original one that was the doctor's name, Stella Emanuel, who comes out and tells you don't need to die. Really kind of a sad, listening to that was kind of sad that people actually believe they're going to die. And this, here we are with the ignorance of people believing in the experts of those in control. This is what it does. This is a reality. You're not going to get away from this. So you got to understand it's the condition. She comes out to tell you, though, that hydroxychloroquine and zinc and, what was the other one? Another was that I think it was an antibiotic called with a Z, I think, remember. It doesn't come to my mind. Anyway, she says that her clinic in Houston, she's a doctor now, she's the one, she gives the, she said 350 patients, that she gives this to early stage evidence of COVID-19, the symptoms. And she's had no deaths, and everybody has been cured. That video, those doctors, has been whack-a-mole on every venue, a forum, a social media forum I've been at. It keeps moving. I grabbed two different copies, when I started to realize it was being disappeared. Don't know what it's going to mean to anybody, but my point there was some information she said in there that on a notice standpoint, being a doctor, proving that she is in Houston, you can go to, you can see pictures of where she's at for those that are vilifying her. She's a local doctor that's doing treatment. that she says is successful. I'm not selling any of this stuff. I'm telling you that we're looking at a bogey virus, that there might be something out there, that there may be a treatment, and she says it's a cure. They're knocking this video down. They've knocked everyone down I've looked at and found. I decided to take copies of two quickly. I just held them back. Don't know if I'm going to use them. Just letting you know that that's maybe the FC. For me, it's evidence. And the response by social media is evidence of the death cult not wanting you to know of even a treatment, whether or not it's a cure. We do hear it's for early use. And that we had heard a little bit before, but this, she is a doctor confirming her treatment only applies early use for all kinds of comorbidities as well. And so I left a link here. Whether I don't even remember if this link goes anywhere from Cryptogon. She comes out to say this. I've given you another link to her Twitter. It came up a couple days later. This is just a doctor who is telling you there's a treatment. You don't have to be afraid. Get in early. Resolve it. She's resolved it this way. There's a whole other bunch of other doctors saying the same thing. They're concerned about the kids going to school. I don't know about that. Maybe all the kids should not go to school. Either here, near the here, or there. The point is there was treatment that was provided that social media is doing. You have to whack-a-mole to find these videos of the knowledge of that. In the video, she states something about hiccups being caused by COVID. And when I heard that, I literally sat back, I said, is this a scam? Hiccups by COVID? And guess what? Persistent hiccups is an atypical presenting complaint of COVID-19 from the NIH Gov site. She was right. There was a case of an older guy come in with hiccups complaint, has other cofactors involved. It wasn't treated by her, it was treated somewhere else. They provide only hydroxychloroquine to stop the hiccups. He tests positive for COVID-19. Put that in air quotes for your mind. And again, he had flu-like symptoms. They put him on hydroxychloroquine. By the end of the week, I don't remember the details. You can read it. You'll get the link. He walks out of the hospital. He's cured of hiccups caused by COVID-19. Now, I still can't believe I'm hearing that, but if you want a government paper that looked at that and explains that hydroxychloroquine alone worked to do this, we're now showing that the doctor who has experience is telling you at least that much truth. Now, is it for you? I don't know. It certainly has a problem if it's too late. You wait around like a guy does, oh, I can fight this, like I did in my own life. Oh, I can fight this thing. It almost kills me. I should have went in early. Maybe they could have figured it out, but no, I didn't do that. Well, this one you have to kind of go in. Whatever this is, if you get in early and you have that thing, this hydroxychloroquine, at least with the antibiotic and the zinc, help. Now, this video is being whacked, even though she's giving doctors advice, by social media who are not doctors. Did I put this down? I can't remember now. Oh, darn it. Somebody was arguing against this doctor, who's just a journalist, saying that her information was no good or something here. I can't remember now. I don't have it right in front of me. I think I have the link, but I don't have the citation. And I responded back after reading this persistent hiccups that was solved by hydroxychloroquine and testing positive for COVID-19 as a success. I wanted to know, as a journalist and all the journalists that piled onto this against this doctor, how many refrigerator stars they were given to have the authority to demean a doctor over the experience of the doctor against someone's private care, which to me became more the point. All this is to take away your rights of private care, and there's a whole bunch of people that want to do that, and they have no experience. And this whack-a-mole by social media and the government to get rid of this thing and call it not good information, when it's just a treatment consideration that you would choose between you and your doctor, and the doctor makes the decision, is one of the flying under the radar principles about who you will associate with relative to a trespasser in your life, relative to your health care. Subsequent to that, there was a report that her statement. There's a report that came out that was Global HCQ, or hydroxychloroquine studies, PREP, PEP, and early treatment studies show effectiveness, while late treatment shows mixed results, was a concurring statement that all these social medias knocking her suggestion that this treatment was viable shows these people are part of a death cult. These people are part of the destruction against you. And one more piece of evidence that if you look at the chart and you read a little of the story, and I have to admit, I'm not getting really in depth in a lot of this. I'll accept the chart on what it says. It says that if you are in Turkey, India, Indonesia, Ukraine, Morocco, Greece, Malaysia, and Cuba who use hydroxychloroquine, HCQ, early, you had a drastically diminished response in the population against COVID-19. This is a study, 66 studies, 39 peer-reviewed of COVID deaths. The worst didn't reach 200 per million. You go to those other countries, such as UK, Sweden, USA, Ireland, and France that didn't do early use, and they start, they're higher than 500 people per 1 million. The UK, the highest. Those of you in the UK, watch out. Your medical profession really wants you dead. At over 800 per million people. And simple graph, peer-reviewed. I don't know what more to say. Evidence. Here's the point of the evidence. Why would I use that? Not because it shows, the doctor's right about hydroxychloroquine and I'm evangelizing hydroxychloroquine. I'm saying there's a treatment that you're being denied or deprived. The failure to do the certification of which and proper testing early on in the government that is oppressing you has allowed them to misdiagnose the treatments and actually vilify provably usable treatments properly done. And you'll remember I said the hydroxychloroquine quinine chloroquine actually was used around the world. I reported that just from their wiki. It explains this whole condition as well. That you have to use this stuff properly, and you have to use it in the right moment for it to work, even though it's an anti-malarial drug, which still, to me, is interesting that they use that. Right in time with this whack-a-mole video that's trying to tell you that there's a cure, there's a treatment that you can do if you get in early, that there's a doctor that does it, there's a whole bunch of doctors that do this, countering the official narrative. We get the FDA information Twitter. Based on continued review of scientific data, FDA has determined that chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine are unlikely to be effective in treating COVID-19, and therefore we are revoking the emergency use authorizations of these drugs. This was just reposted, if I remember this, after this thing with Dr. Emmanuel suggesting that this hydroxychloroquine actually does work. Well, based on continued review of scientific data, that study was done a while back relative to the pulling and the banning of its use for emergency purposes. Go to the FDA website, which I provide a link, and then you read this. They do have a website that said it's banned. Then they had an update. It's this. FDA cautions use of hydroxychloroquine chloroquine for COVID-19. What do you mean they advanced that they shouldn't use it? It says FDA cautions the use. But what's the caution? FDA is aware of reports of serious heart rhythm problems in patients with COVID-19 treated with hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine after its combination with azithromycin and other QT prolonging medicines. We are also aware of increased use of these medicines through the outpatient prescriptions. Therefore, we would like to remind healthcare professionals and patients of known risks associated with both hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine. We will continue to investigate risks associated with the hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine of COVID-19 and communicate publicly when we have more information. Hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine have not been shown to be safe and effective for treating or preventing COVID-19. They are being studied in clinical trials for COVID-19, and we authorize their temporary use during COVID-19 pandemic for treatment of the virus in hospitalized patients when the clinical trials are not available or participation is not feasible. The use being used under the hydroxychloroquine chloroquine EAU are supplied from the Strategic National Stockpile. Let me just stop and go back to the top. They're talking to you that is a risk of abnormal heart rhythm. What did they say? They say the FDA cautions, not bans, on the update. That makes now sense what the doctor Emmanuel said relative to saying, well, you claim that there's heart rhythm problems. What are you going to do? Do I wait for the heart rhythm problem to develop, or do I solve the problem for them and get them out of the clinic healthy? All you heart rhythm people, you're worried about that while you're killing patients. Now it makes sense what she was saying. The FDA says that this can be used in a hospital setting. Well, I don't understand the difference between a hospital setting and a clinical setting with a doctor. And so there's no ban on this from the FDA either, even though you heard the Twitter go out right after this that there was. Now, there's another document, COVID-19 treatment guidelines. Remember, this is not about SARS-CoV-2. They mentioned SARS-CoV-2. This is just about the symptoms treatment. But yeah, I need you to read this article if you're into finding out what they don't know. They admit throughout this document they don't know a whole lot of things, and yet they suggest and make assumptions to do things relative to their guidelines for what physicians might consider. Again, it's all just guidelines, not mandates, not actual care. There is nothing in this guideline from the NIH that says there's anything mandatory, which makes sense because the doctors, when they're actually treating you and care about you, are looking to do the best for you. Given they're a good doctor, they're doing the best for you, and they're able. The law allows them to reach out for things that they think will help you, even if it wasn't made for that. Now, I'm not looking at all the negatives of what they don't know, just the fact that when you look at this document, I also found a silence. And the silence is where they don't have enough information to make a decision or make a recommendation. Guess where that happened to be a lot about? In the vitamins. In the minerals. And when I recognize how to use all this. See, you're using this stuff to see how they use this. Give suggestions to doctors if they don't know. Where the guideline makes no opinion at all because they don't know relative to the use of vitamins and minerals and anything, they give that there is no constraints on a doctor such as Dr. Emmanuel. And anybody who is making a big hay over this is really just a criminal, aiding and abetting the death cult. There's no recommendations relative to vitamins because they have no information. And I'm not a vitamin seller here. I'm saying that if a doctor decides that vitamin C and zinc and anything else that's a vitamin or mineral may help to alleviate your problem, they are free to do that without any scrutiny. There is no authority to come in and say they did wrong. There may be an authority after if they do it wrong, but not at the time that they can support a decision to do so. Again, why there's a whack-a-mole on good information relative to whatever that thing was with the doctors, the frontline doctor thing, is not warranted by anyone. Anyone. And so I want to point out again how to use the guidelines. First, they're just guidelines. Secondly, they're on symptoms. Thirdly, when you look at what the guidelines and you find out how little they know and what they recommend isn't so absolute. What I then do is I take that and say, well, they don't know and it's not so absolute, and whatever they're doing isn't helping anything. They're outside the local health authority is outside of its authority and jurisdiction. They're now harming us without cause. Now you got them in the felony. And if you do the notices right, now you got them in willful knowledge. That is the crime. That's how you establish that part of the crime and not as some just mere dereliction. COVID-19 in primary schools, another finding. No significant transmission among children or from students to teachers. I'm just reading the title. You can read through this yourself. Survey, epidemiological survey of 1,340 people linked to primary schools in Crepey-Valois. And in the OI department, not French, sorry. Thanks to the cooperation of those people, the survey which made use of serological tests developed by the Institut Pasteur revealed that the proportion of primary school students infected by novel coronavirus was 8.8%. Based on some cases of infection detected in the students before the schools closed, it appears that the children did not spread the infection to other students or to teachers or to staff at the schools. Okay, so I don't know. They said they got a test. I don't know. Maybe we should go to Louis Institute Pasteur, find out what novel coronavirus test they have, because they're the only ones in the world that say that they actually have one. I need to find out what that one is. Anybody wants to help that one out, contact them. Let's see what the test was. I doubt that it was. They use the PCR type test likely, and they just showed that there's no transmission because they don't even understand the transmission, but they didn't see the evidence of it either. This story then pops up. Hundreds of Georgia campers infected with coronavirus at YMCA camp in just days, CDC report finds. So now I've got an agency that's lying to me all the time, CDC, FDA. They're not lying to me all the time. They lie to me when it's convenient for them. NIH is telling me that they're lying. The tests that they tell me that don't test for what they claim to test for. The Pasteur Institute finds that there's no transmission against school, and yet we come to the United States in Georgia, and all of a sudden a camp, a YMCA camp, gets infested. And you read this story, and I just started to realize, I mean, this has to be a setup story. And you read for the timing. I'm not going to solve the timing. There's a little bit of the week or so of timing that something could have happened. But none of it shows that it was actually transmissible in the camp. In fact, it may argue against its transmissibility, where the school was only open for 3 days. All right? I gave you links about, they talk about SARS-CoV-2 transmission among attendees. There's all these about, they talk about this thing. When you go to the other websites like WebMD, which I don't necessarily like reading from, but it is their facts, they'll tell you that the recovery is 99%, but that the incubation period has a timing structure. Now, we're not going to answer this completely, but when you look at what happened relative to the infection, they all tested negative, and then they got a staffer that gets it the second day in, and then in another day, 500 people are infected. It isn't even believable at some level. And so they do make a limitation on their CDC study here, you'll read, and it has to do with, they don't know what happened between the test 12 days before, which was within the affected time, which that shouldn't be anything there. There was a window when they could have been affected. And that's the small, slim window that the staffer gets it. But it doesn't answer how 300 some odd people got the virus in just a day and tested at the same time that way. And so this looked like a big, scary story. What they want is to get people not to go to school or to get them vaccinated and all this other stuff. You go to the CDC website, an overview of the testing of SARS-CoV-2 that they mention, and I wanted to make sure, again, what tests are they using, because there is no test. Did they finally find one? I go to this webpage, and what caught me was the very top page, top of the page, is all these people with face masks on. Something that their reports tell us don't work, but that's what they're promoting. I can't trust this agency now to give me any information. Everything has to be checked and tested. Overview of testing of SARS-CoV-2. Now they're saying specific to SARS-CoV-2. I'll give you the upshot of all this. When you go find out what they're doing and how they're testing, they can't test for SARS-CoV-2. It's the same PCR-style test. Now we get that in an interesting statement, which I understand why. Now I'm wondering how they got the negative test. How did anybody test negative in Georgia? Everybody test negative. Fascinating. Also, I don't see if you picked that one up, but here I found a thing. How do they do these tests? They got a machine. It's Abbott companies, right? All these people that are getting the immunity. Abbott is bringing rapid testing to the front lines of a fight against COVID-19 with launch of portable molecular test on ID Now that gives positive results in as little as 5 minutes was all the admission I needed to know that this machine is made to give positive results. They didn't use it in Georgia the 12 days before the YMCA. They advertised that this machine gives positive results in as little as 5 minutes. They also say they're going to take a bunch of samples now that they found out they don't work so well and find out if 100% of the positive samples they know will continue to prove positive. This machine is made to throw positives, apparently. They didn't omit the word positive, which they could have to mean something general, gives results in 5 minutes. No, they're going to give positive results. This is outcome-based experts. This is outcome-based lies, direction, to feed information that people can buy into. Opposing all that, Sweden says controversial virus strategy proving effective. Again, remember, the opposing answers for you in use are they don't have a certified infectious agent in the States. They don't then can't then make a mitigation strategy. The one they've had is failing miserable. And here's an example of when they didn't do any of this, it actually works. Proving they're outside their authority to involve themselves as health authorities, declaring pandemics that don't exist, doing the pandemics that are not, assuming PCR tests will do any of this. And see, now you start to do what I call the Mandela, but you start coming in on itself. You start doing the patterning that comes into the hub, comes to the core, comes back out, grabs another failure, brings it back into the core to show that they're violation, and you go back out. You just go round and around, finding all the things they've done. You bring all this information to counter-prove what you're saying in your core complaints or letters. Sweden is the example when they didn't take this false presumption and they tested, they found out they didn't have to. They're doing quite fine. It's just not news that, oh, look at Sweden is doing okay. It's that there's an occupier, a tyrant in your face, taking out your livelihood or planning to if they already haven't. And you need to resist that. You will be defeated if you allow them to push that down and allow it to maintain itself. You will not be defeated. You will not be destroyed if you stand up. And I offer, until I'm shown different, a clear, narrow path on how that's done. You don't have to make any of it up. It's like copy and paste. Facts about COVID. More facts you can bring. Again, I don't even want to read. This is just links. If you're interested, you grab them up, read through them. With my explanation here on how you use them for what you can use them for, not for what you're trying to be informed, like you're so knowledgeable. What you're knowledgeable is how to expose the fraud relative to the black and white they failed to do, and that gives you your standing because now you're harmed. And there's facts about COVID that came through. I think it's also relevant to Sweden. I can't remember now, but they go through tons and tons of things that you could distill down to show what the real facts are if you want to. But when you do that, you got to be careful not to get into argument of facts. I actually wouldn't do too much of that. I would just kind of reference that because they got they didn't certify, they've now have provably wrong directions, and the facts that they are actual and true, the ones that can't be made up are the ones that you can present if needed. And so, again, it's not just that you're knowledgeable that this is fraud there. It's how do you go in to the information and pull out what you need to defend yourself. Use them as weapons and shields, and even more, just more of you. You become, multiply yourself with what I'm pointing out to you against this fraud. It's just a simple fraud, and we're told that they're going to bring this lie to us, and we will succumb because it's pervasive against us, and everybody so far is agreeing with it. And that's going to be the fulfillment of that plan against you. And that's why I keep telling you why the habeas becomes so strong. Each one of you stands up. Each one of you becomes the phoenix to rise above this. And then because of the power of the people, each one of us doing is outing all the failures, and we can sweep out some. Well, we could do a lot more, but sweep out some of what offends us and oppresses us, and make the record that don't go there ever, ever again. Grimner, thank you for what you do at realLibertyMedia.com and UCY.TV. Oh, and I think Sholly had a new show today over there right before us, a couple ghosts in the machine, a new normal, I think he had, I noticed in the listing, and Sound Minds and Normalization of Ignorance and Just in Case, and all you guys that the support and all you guys that are doing, the thumbs up and all. Appreciate all that to let other people know. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.